Hi, this is Lady V along with SD. We are She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Join us for today's discussion, The Word Made Flesh. I am SD here with my co-host Lady V.
Hey, hey.
If this is your first time with us, we are so glad you decided to spend some of your time with us.
Absolutely.
This is our Biblical Talk series where we read and discuss a particular Bible passage. So grab your Bible and follow along. Now, before we get started, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you will be alerted when we upload new hope-filled content. So, Lady V, which passage are we talking about today?
Well, today we're just going over John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and we're talking about the Word became flesh. We're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, the author of the beginning. And the Apostle John is the one that narrates this, and he also is going to mention John the Baptist, witness of Jesus as well. But let's get started where John is introducing the Word. Who was at the beginning of time, the natural realm in which we live in. It says in John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." That was 1 through 5. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Now, we are seeing that the Apostle John is explaining that, you know, basically what we, the recount of Genesis chapter 1, you know, letting us know that God created all things. So this is in alignment with Genesis chapter 1 that says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it continues to say more about what God created. And it keeps saying, "And God said," "and God said," "and God said." And then you eventually start seeing, "And God saw," "and God saw," "he said," "and he saw," "he said," "and he saw." So it's like whatever God spoke, he did see it come to pass, where the natural was created out of the realm of the spirit, because God is spirit first. Okay, so we know God, and the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, which is the creator, the one that makes something out of nothing. You know, he didn't need to use his hands to create. He used his word. Okay, so all that was created through the agency of the Word, who we now know is Jesus Christ. But I'm going to get to that. And it says nothing has been created except through the Word, who is Jesus, in, that Jesus did not create, because he is the Word made flesh. And I'm going to get to that. This includes, you know, the physical, both the physical and the spiritual realms. You know, anything physical or spiritual in this realm was created through God's word, and what he said, it was created. So nothing was created without him. So, and we, if we look at the Amplified Bible in John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I still go back to how he says, "In him was life." Okay, so we're, if we go back up to verse 1 of John chapter 1, we're seeing that the word already existed, for one. Okay, so we know the spirit, because, you know, the word already existed, and the natural realm was not yet created. But then, in, you know, we find out that the word was with God. So we know the word was started with God, but we don't know God starts, so we don't know the word starts. So all we know is they always were. So, and it says the word was God. So now we're finding out the word and God are one. But at the same time, there is a difference between he that existed in the beginning with God, or else it wouldn't be noted that he existed in the beginning with God. Okay. All right. It wouldn't have to say with God if it was not so that it was to distinguish, separate. But yet they were still the word was to equal the word was God. So we find out they're the same, but yet at the same time, they are separate in who they operate as. Okay. So, you know, and it's, and we keep seeing that God created everything through him, through him. So if we look at Genesis chapter one, we find out where, you know, where God said, and God said, and then God said, and then God saw, and, you know, and then you eventually you say, and God said, it was good. It was good. This was good. It's okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. So we're learning that God operates as the word because he spoke things into existence by his word. So we know he operates as the word, but at the same time, he is called a he. So this is how we're getting to find, as we continue to read on, we're going to find out about Jesus being that word, because even Jesus said that he is the truth, the way, and the life. And here we find out in John chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, in him was life. So Jesus calls himself the life. And when we find out in John 1 and verse 4 that in him was life. Okay. So that means he's the life giver, because in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we find out that it says the Lord God, then the Lord God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. How did man become a living being? Everything that's in the natural came out of the spirit. So therefore, that breath of life is a spiritual breath. It's not just the oxygen. It is a spiritual breath because it brings life. Okay, because you can pump oxygen to a dead body all you want to, and it will not come back to life.
Right.
So that breath of life
is spirit. Tell the truth. That's
and,
right.
You know, we have oxygen to breathe, but this is a different type of breath. This is something that makes something that is not alive. Okay. So it says the breath of, and the man became a living being. So we know man came to life after receiving this breath of life from God. Okay. Because God breathed into his nostrils. He breathed into an empty vessel and made it come to life through the spirit of the breath of life. Okay. Okay. So in other words, okay, Jesus, okay, he's known as the light of all men. Okay. If you think about it, that because that breath of life activates our human bodies to live on earth. And we know that's a spiritual breath because, like I said, oxygen input into a dead body, find any dead body in a grave, and it's not going to bring them back to life if you just put some oxygen on them. Okay.
Right.
You need that spiritual breath of life. Okay. So our bodies are void of life until we receive that breath of life. Okay. And although we are spirit beings living in a physical body, the vessels that house us, which is our body, it cannot exist without that spiritual breath of life. Okay. Because that comes from God, and God only can. Nobody else give that. You cannot manufacture that. You can manufacture other things and hope that it works, but you cannot manufacture the breath of life, because that comes from God and God only.
That's right.
Go back to, you can give a doctor can do a transplant, take one heart of one person and put in another, but then there's the blood type got to match, and this got to match, and that got all the body will reject it. Okay. Because it's not a perfect science. Okay. Only God is perfect, and he knows how to perfectly put a body together. But God is so great in who he is that he has made it so that our organs can be used in another person if need be. Okay. That's how great he is. But it can't, again, you know, no doctor, no scientist can manufacture the breath of life, which is a spiritual breath. You can't manufacture that.
Right.
Kids can't. Okay. So next we find in verse 5 that the word lets us know that the light shines on the darkness, and the darkness has never overpowered it. You know, the darkness has, in other words, has not put it out. You know, it's like a flame. You can't put it out. You know, it cannot. But the darkness, we know, is unreceptive to us. Because, I mean, let's think about it. Anybody that is just, you see that is just possessed, just doing evil stuff, they want nothing to do with Jesus.
Nope.
First and foremost, they want absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. If they're in witchcraft or whatever, they want nothing to do with Jesus. And that's because the darkness and light cannot, darkness can't comprehend light. That's
right.
Why a lot of times some people won't even listen to you tell them about Jesus, because they were like, I don't want to hear anything about it, because that's going to be saying I'm doing something wrong. If you tell me about Jesus, that's saying I'm doing something wrong. Well, Jesus is the light. He is truth, and he came to reveal truth.
Right.
And even if it's truth that you jacked up, then you jacked up. If it's truth that you a liar, then you a liar. I mean, let's just be real about it. We lie to ourselves, but you can't lie to God, and God
that's
already
right.
knows who we are.
That's
and
right.
we can lie to other people about
about ourselves, but we know deep down inside if something ain't right with us or we got an issue in some area. I can say for myself, you know, I have battled with anger issues throughout my life. I had, you know, it's different things that just would just trigger me and I would just be angry so quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, I know that truth about myself. Right. So if I was to go to tell someone, you know, oh, I'm the happiest person in the world, I'm always happy, that would be a lie. And I would know it's a lie. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, again, light reveals the truth. And I know in the word of God lets me know that, you know, if you love somebody, how can you say that you love God? How can you hate your brother? Uh-huh. You know, how can you hate another human being if you say you know God or you say you love God? Because God is love. So mm-hmm. that light of who God is, of who Jesus is, will reveal that you're not walking in love if you're being hateful, because the word lets you know, if you love God, you can't hate your brother. You can't hate another human being. You That's can't right. hate a race of a person or even a person if they're in a different religion. You still don't show hate.
That's
you're
right.
supposed to show love regardless if they believe the way you do or not. That's between them and God. God will handle that. It's only for you to continue to shine the light of Christ if you're in Christ.
Right.
I'm going to say it like that. So if a person goes to a church, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe somebody need to hear this. If a person has gone to the church and you've had some people not treat you not too nice or just was unkind or treated you like you were less than, well, that wasn't the place for you.
That's
but
right.
one thing you have to remember, that the church is filled with people that are imperfect.
That's
we
right.
were only perfect because of Jesus and what he did, when we received what he did.
Right.
And him making us righteous through the shedding of his blood on the cross. But again, you know, we're starting with the beginning. And as we're talking about the beginning comes from God. And we find out that the beginning is the word. And we'll later find out, you know, that the word is related to Jesus being the expression of who God is in a person of a human. But at that time, he again, is spirit, is spiritually speaking of him being the word. But he existed because he didn't come into a body until uh-huh. He came through Mary. Later on, you read that in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. When he came into a body, but still spirit. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because he's God, so of course he's going to be spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but he came in a human body as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. And then the word finally was existing in a body, you know?
Right.
But anyway, getting back to John chapter 1, because I kind of went off there a little bit, but I was just trying to explain this, where the darkness and the light can't come together. And that's why Jesus has so many opposing forces trying to kill him, because he was the light shining. And,
right.
and there were people there that didn't want to hear what he had to say.
They wanted to stay in their darkness.
They wanted to stay in the darkness. And instead of just walking away, if they didn't want to hear it, that's fine, just walking away. There were people that were trying to assassinate him. It was religious leaders that tried to assassinate him. So that showed forth that they thought he was a threat of some kind. Mm-hmm. What threat was if he was just healing people, sharing the God and the kingdom of God? So he was no threat to them, except that he was the light shining a light mm-hmm. on their darkness and their dark hearts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was really the only threat he was to them, because
right.
he didn't come to condemn them.
Mm-mm.
You know, he came to save the lost, to seek
right.
and to save the lost. He
mm-hmm.
opened the eyes of the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And these Pharisees had an issue with him because they were walking in darkness. Because
that's right.
How can you say? They said they were teachers of the law and they knew God, and God, Jehovah was their God, you know, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the, you know, God of Abraham was their God. But at the same time, they were showing such hatred
mm-hmm.
toward Jesus. So how, again, the scripture says, how can you say you love God and then you hate your brother or you hate another person?
Right.
You know, you can't. You can't. So darkness lies there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in hate, the darkness lies there, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go, like I said, if you go into a church and someone has treated you ugly and you're like, I'm done with church, you know, don't be, you know, you could be done with that particular church, but don't be done with Jesus, because mm-hmm. Jesus didn't do that. People did that.
Mm-hmm. And Levy, I have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
That right there touches on a subject where people who have had church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I heard an amazing analogy. And okay, you were hurt at one particular church. If you go to a restaurant and you get food poisoning, you're not going to stop eating out, are you?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
You're not going to stop eating out. But a lot of people, they attribute that to just the church. Oh, you got hurt at that church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going back to church again.
Mm-hmm.
Or you turn away from Jesus altogether
mm-hmm.
because of human beings
mm-hmm.
that caused you some hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is, if you got hurt there, don't turn your back on Jesus. Try somewhere else.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
So that's why I thought about that when you
mm-hmm.
said that, because it is so true. Say if you have get
you eat some food at one particular McDonald's and it won't good and you got sick, you're not gonna stop going to all other McDonald's forever. You may avoid that McDonald's, but you'll just go to another one. So we have to think about that. Don't allow people in the church to hurt you and then you turn your back on Jesus because of that.
Yeah,
because
people walking in the light are gonna show love. If they if they're showing hatefulness in any way, that's darkness.
That's
that
right.
Has nothing to do with Jesus. So let's pick back up in John chapter 1 and verse 6, where the Apostle John says, "And God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. And John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created." There you go. Right there. He came into the very world he created. And then it says, "But the world didn't recognize him." Why? Because he came in human flesh. He didn't come in bells and whistles. He just came as a regular, in a regular average body. And Jesus, when he came, he didn't come asking for the best, finest robes and let me give me the finest castle to live in. No, he just lived like an average person among the people, because that's who Jesus is. He is the one who, think about it, the creator comes in human flesh to be among those he created. He doesn't want to come in a way where it will repel people away. He's want to come where he can just blend a little bit in a way where they'll feel comfortable. If they want to come talk to him, they can come talk to him. He don't want them to come down with this grand spec, you know. Then they're like, "Oh, I'm scared to talk. I'm scared to be myself." Because with him, Jesus being, you know, looking like an average person, it allowed people that was walking in darkness to show their true colors. Because think about it. If there's a person who has a whole lot of money, then they got a whole lot of friends. And those friends going out, they love them all the more. Soon as that person lose all their money, then you find out who the real friends are, because then they disappear and then they start talking bad about you. But before, they loved you because you had all this money. So God couldn't come in human flesh in this body that looked like he was, "Okay, let me wear my crown of gold here on earth so everyone can recognize who I am." No, he had to come in like a body, an average body, to do carpentry work. Average person, the average Joe do a carpentry work or whatever, average Joe. And so people could just be themselves and see that they could come to him willingly without feeling like, "Oh, I can't go to him. He's too high a status for me to talk to him." No, he just came as a regular person. So people feel welcome to come to him. And that's what light does. It draws people. It doesn't repel people or make people afraid to come towards it. You know, it makes people to actually go towards it if they want the light.
That reminded me of the show Undercover Boss. You know how those CEOs, so that they could find out the truth about what was going on in their companies.
Yeah, that's a good example.
They dressed up like average Joes coming in to get a job so that people would feel comfortable enough to tell the truth about what was going on.
And be themselves.
And be themselves.
And they were sorry, they were just sorry.
Yes. And if they were horrible workers, they were able to see all of that.
You know,
but that was when you said that about how he came as an average Joe and people were able to approach him and talk to him. In that show, when people just thought that the person was just an average Joe coming to work, they were like, "Man, they don't give us this. We don't get enough breaks and we don't get this." They were able to see
the show Undercover Boss.
On the show Undercover Boss, they were able to see it. So it made me think about that.
They
dressed up like average people coming in to work. That's what it meant when you said Jesus didn't come with crowns and gold and all this stuff and he wasn't approachable. It made me think about that.
He had to come in a way that people could approach him and feel comfortable approaching him. And only people that weren't comfortable around him, but they still drew to him, were the Pharisees. They were always wherever he was, but they ain't like him. And you know, and you're like, "Well, then why are you around me if you don't like me?" You know what I'm saying? But they were there just to cause trouble. And that's what happens a lot of times when the light is shining somewhere through someone.
there's someone there to try to dim the light.
But miracles were happening around him.
There was, like I said, people were drawn to Jesus, mm-hmm. and you know, and people are still being drawn to him. In the realm of the spirit, they're still being drawn to him. But anyway, back to verse 8. You know, John, it says John himself was not the light. You know, he was simply a witness to tell about the light. You mm-hmm. know, John came to tell about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And verse 9 says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So, you know, it was being said that, you know, this was an event that was inevitable to happen. And John the Baptist was sent to tell, to proclaim Jesus is coming. The light mm-hmm. of the world is coming. And in verse 10, it says he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people. That's the Jewish people. And it says, and they rejected him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I sum those few up, 6 through 11, we find that John the Baptist had one assignment, and mm-hmm. that was to make an announcement of the Messiah, Jesus, that was, you know, coming, you know, into the world. And he was there to be that witness to say, that's him. You know, that was his sole assignment, to speak about Jesus and say, that's him. You know, tell people to repent, uh-huh. you know, turn from your wickedness. You know, you got to repent. You know, the promised Messiah, he coming, y'all, he coming. So go and turn from that wickedness, you know. And John was baptized, and also, you know, so that people could do it outward. Like repentance, you know, outward showing of repentance by being baptized. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we know that while Jesus came to the world for those he loves, you know, unfortunately that rejection was a part of his assignment, because the darkness will always be in a constant threatening voice and in competition or in conflict, you know, with light, you know. And it's even like that today. You know, you see that there's always someone who's always being like the bully, you know, mm-hmm. always trying, you know, you're like, why are they messing with this country over here? They're, you know, what's the point of that? Why are you doing that? Or every time, you know, an American or, you know, going into a particular country that doesn't like Americans, why are they getting kidnapped? You know, that's darkness mm-hmm. that is, you know, has a hate for people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's you know, that's just racist, you know, just in all its form, you know, just are having a type of hate for a certain culture, mm-hmm. you know. And the thing is, we're just supposed to love everybody. And, you know, and that's just not easy, because everybody's not willing to get out of darkness mm-hmm. and step into the light, because it takes love to love other people. It takes mm-hmm. love, and God is love. So, you know, if you don't have God, you can't, how can you love? Because you wanting to reject that light and stay mm-hmm. in darkness, mm-hmm. you know. But we know, you know, the truth, people don't want to hear the truth anyway. And Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. Okay. He even calls himself the truth, because he was like, I expose what a lie is, just mm-hmm. for showing up on the scene. I expose it. And people do, a lot of times, they don't want to hear the truth. They reject the truth, or they make up their own, what they call it, my truth. And it's really a lie, because mm-hmm. if you say it's yours, well, I can say that, and I can just make up anything. Yes, you know, right. So and just because I'm the author of that dictionary, you know yeah. what I'm saying? So it's no, you know, separation. It's either the truth, which is the truth of God's word, what God says the mm-hmm. standard is, and that's it. There's nothing else. He's the light. There's nothing else.
That's right.
You know, so you can make up what you want to, but that don't make it true. You
that's
know,
right.
I go back to when we were kids. I remember there would be like little games where somebody would whisper something to one kid, and you'd be like 10 kids lined up, and they would whisper it and whisper. By the time it got to the last kid, the message would be totally jacked uh-huh. up. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it is. You know, you can have the truth, and then somebody else can decide to add something.
By the time it gets
take something away from it, and then by the time it gets to such a place or whatever, to where it's all misconstrued, and then they're like, "That was what was told me. That's the truth of the whole thing." No, it's not.
That's right.
It has been tampered with.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't tamper with the truth. The truth is the truth, and that's all it is. And Jesus shines the light on the truth. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, the darkness does not like the light. So you're gonna find, whenever you find hate, you find darkness. That's yep. point blank in the period. But verse 12 says, you know, but all who believed in him, all that believed in Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus even said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. He said, no one can get to the Father except through me.
Right.
So how else can you become a child of God? That's through Jesus.
That's right.
All who have accepted him have been given. He gave the right Jesus gave the right to become the children of God. And verse 13 says they are reborn, not of a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Note here, if you believe in Jesus and you receive him, you accept him, you become a child of God. And this is a birth of it's a rebirth of, you know, that's a spiritual and spiritual. It's not your flesh being automatically changed. No, it's your spirit man now becomes one with Jesus because you've accepted him in to your heart and to your life. So now you become one with Jesus. So now you are, you have, for a better word, have received an external love exchange. Okay. You've let go of the old and you've embraced the new creation and God that the Lord Jesus can make you. And this birth, again, it's a spiritual birth. It comes from God and God alone. Because how do I know that? And in John chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Your spirit is reborn when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Your spirit is reborn because he allows you to become one with his spirit. Okay. So this is not something that your flesh is going to change, because only flesh can change, give birth to flesh. But it's a spiritual birth. That is a spiritual, I would say a spiritual happening, you know, that we cannot explain. It's just, it's a rebirth, and it comes from God. And again, it's not something that we ourselves, can do or give to ourselves. This is something like the breath of life. Only God can give it. That's no one else. We can't do it. We can't manufacture. You can't come up with nothing in no laboratory.
That's okay.
When it comes to the breath of life, you can't do it. You just can't do it. So the same thing about spiritual rebirthing through Jesus. It comes from God.
That's right. And when you were saying, Lady V, that, you know, the scripture says Jesus, he said he was the way.
He's the way.
So let me go ahead on and tell you, if you go to a church who they profess that they are Christian, and they tell you that there are many ways to God,
then change.
That is not Bible.
Yeah, and that's not
that
the place
is
you
not
need to be.
The Holy Bible. Yeah, let me make that clear. The Holy Bible.
Yeah.
Because there are some other different Bibles out there that's not the Holy Bible. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Bible with different translations like New Living Translations, New International.
No,
they're still the Holy Bible.
Yeah, they're still the Holy Bible.
So if that church or who an organization says, oh, there are many ways to God,
that's a lie.
Are not Christian.
That's
they're
right.
not true
they're not
Christ followers because
mm-mm.
Jesus said he made it very clear. I am the way.
He
is the truth. He is the light.
He's
the life.
He's
the light too.
Yeah, he's the light too.
So
he's the light.
We have to be very, very clear about that. So if you hear that, that is not the God of the Bible, the Holy Bible. That is not the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Born of a virgin.
If they try to say there's any other way to God.
If they say there are many ways.
Because
to
we
God.
Know the word even warns us that, you know, in the last, you know, it's going to be false messiahs that rise up.
That's
people
right.
People that are saying
that's
they
right.
Jesus or saying they're doing something on the behalf of Jesus and they killing folks or doing something wrong. And that's not God. You
that's
know,
right.
You have to have discernment, and the only way you can get that is through the Holy Spirit.
That's
after
right.
receiving Jesus as Lord and his spirit, he rebirths your spirit and the Holy Spirit comes in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have a guide, you have a counselor to talk you through to if this is right or that's not right. And you, all you're doing, you're just paying attention to what you feel within your spirit. If something don't feel right, it's because it's not right.
That's right.
You know, you discern. Yes, this discernment, you know, it's a spiritual knowing. And the thing of it is, there are going to be false prophets out there that's going to be using the name of Jesus, but are not giving the gospel of Jesus.
That's
they're
right.
telling they're using it for as a weapon to control people. That's not Jesus. Jesus didn't control nobody.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I go back to like you know if like when the Pharisees threw that the woman with the that was caught in adultery with another man. They didn't have a man out there, but threw the woman out there before Jesus.
And they said she was caught.
Yeah,
in
she
it.
Was caught, but they
so
didn't grab the man.
She was caught in it, but they didn't grab both.
They didn't grab both of them. But my point is, they threw her before Jesus to see what he was going to say. Like, what did you say about this? Because the law of Moses said that we supposed to stone her. What you say about this? And Jesus was he didn't say well she with me so y'all just leave her alone. No, he said anybody that ain't done nothing wrong. Y'all just pick up the stone and y'all be the first one to stone her then. Mm-hmm. And no one could do that. They all walked away because there was no one to accuse them. But he didn't, after that, when everybody walked away and he was asking the woman, he said, anybody accused? And she was like, no, he was the only one that could. But that's he just right. told her, just go and don't sin no more, you know. But he didn't say, you got to stay here with me and you got to serve me for the rest of your life.
That's
and
right.
you got to do everything I say. He didn't do that. He no, just said, go and sin no more. Go ahead.
That's right.
Just don't sin no more. That's what right. he did. That's what he did. He didn't use that to control her. That's he didn't right. say, you know what? I just saved your life, so you owe me.
That's
he
right.
didn't do that.
No, he did not.
He didn't do
come
that.
On,
he
you said, cooking.
He, yeah. said, he said, you know, go and sin no more. So it's not about control.
That's right.
Because God wants, and Jesus wants someone to receive him freely.
Yes.
Freely, because he gave his life freely
yes.
on the cross for the sins of the world, for my sins and yours.
Yes.
Now, I don't receive what he did for me because yes. I'm thankful.
I'm
you know.
Thankful.
But you
yes,
know,
God.
And if you mm-hmm. haven't, you know, this is your opportunity at the end of this, because we'll be about to wrap it up in just a few minutes, where we'll say the prayer of salvation and you can say it. But if you already have received Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, you've got to know that he loves you so much. He's not trying to control you.
That's right.
He wants you to live the best life. And the word of God helps to guide us in that
yeah.
as we follow his example of doing what Jesus always did. He stayed in prayer with the Father.
Yeah.
He was always communicating with the Father. And he said whatever he did what the Father told him to do.
That's right.
So he said, I'm being led by the Father, so y'all should be led. That was for us.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have to say that to us, but that was for us. It was for he said it, and it was recorded so that we would know following God is the way to live your life successfully according to his will and his
yeah,
perfect
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah.
Does not mean you can have a perfect life. You are not. Every human being on this earth has troubles.
That's right.
And Jesus said many of the afflictions of the right. But the word says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but it was like the Lord delivers us out of them all.
Right.
And Jesus even let us know that there you're going to have troubles. In
yeah.
this world, you're going to have some trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's everybody. So
yeah.
he didn't say you're going to have a perfect life. No, he said you're going to have trouble in this world. But he was like, I've overcome it. So mm-hmm. you're going to overcome it.
Yeah.
You know, that means you're going to get through it.
Yeah.
I got through it. You're going to get through it. You know.
Yay. But though I walk
through the valley
of the shadow of death.
That's right. It might look like mm-hmm. it's over, but Jesus said, it won't over for me. It ain't going to be over for you.
That's right. Come on.
If you got Jesus, if you received him, but again, don't, you know, if you go to some church and then they are trying to control you with Jesus, and they're not teaching the freedom that comes with Jesus.
Yeah.
He delivers the captives. You know, he sets yeah. the captives free.
Come
that
on.
Means you are not in bondage with Jesus.
No.
Now, you may be called, Paul refers to himself as a bondservant. His point was he was a minister of the gospel, so he was devoted to
uh-huh.
continue to work for Jesus. To
yeah.
do that was a free thing. That was a
yeah.
free choice. Jesus don't force nobody.
Right.
He wants anyone that comes to him to come to him freely.
Yes.
Freely.
Yes.
Not forced. Not
right.
forcibly, because he's not trying to control you like, well, a puppet with strings like the enemy does. The enemy wants to control you with strings. If somebody, you under somebody, they trying to control you with some strings, then you need to get away from that person. Because
mm-hmm.
the thing of it is, that's not who Jesus is. He's
right.
the light. He's not darkness. You in a place where you feel like you're in darkness, you trapped. That's not Jesus.
Uh-huh. And you feel like you're being manipulated.
That's not
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus brings freedom, and that freedom is not a freedom just to do whatever and be whatever. That freedom is to walk with him, learn of him, learn of who God truly is, and to see of God's love, learn that God
mm-hmm.
truly does love you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, so the word became human. We know that the word is Jesus. Became human and made his home among us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the one that came and made his home among us as the Son of God
mm-hmm.
here on earth. And it says he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Full of unfailing love
mm-hmm.
and faithfulness. Where in that do you see control?
Mm-mm.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. You don't see that.
It
He's
ain't there.
It's not there, because
Mm-mm.
that's not what he was full of. Jesus was full of unfailing love and faith.
Mm-hmm.
That means he there for you. For you might hear people that say, I'm ride or die for someone, so I'm ride or die. Jesus is like, I'm the only one to die for everybody.
That's right.
You
right.
know, so nobody really can use that, because
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I'm the only one to die for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut that out.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but his love is so unfailing that he is faithful to it all, through it all, to the end.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And it says, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only son. Mm-hmm. And it's the verse 15 says, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for mm-hmm. he existed long before me." Now let's stop right there, because John the Baptist was related to Jesus, and he was 6 months older than Jesus as the human Jesus, in the human body,
in the flesh,
because John said he existed before me, me. Now, John in the flesh was born 6 months before Jesus in the flesh. Okay. But Jesus outside of the flesh, in just spiritual form as the word, already was pre-existent. Mm-hmm. Pre-existent. He existed, like John said, long before him.
That's right.
So in the natural mind, you're like, how is that? He was his cousin and he was 6 months older than Jesus, but he's saying Jesus existed before him. How is that? Because it wasn't in a body.
Right.
It wasn't in a human body where Jesus existed mm-hmm. before him. He was pre-existent. That means he always was.
Yeah.
God said in his word, "I am that I am."
That's right.
All right, you can't even break that down, because that's some everything. We don't even know. We only know what the word tells us. Tells us about God. And I think it's so much more to unwrap about God as we learn and we study more of him.
Mm-hmm.
But John said, you know, the ones, he was like, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I, and he existed long before me. In verse 16, John says, "From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." So, you know, John is basically saying, okay, Moses came to give the law to let everybody know what you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. But God, his unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus. Grace came through Jesus to say, "I'm here to free you from all that
mm-hmm.
if you just receive the sacrifice that I became for you on the mm-hmm. cross, that Jesus became for us on the cross." And the scripture in verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God but the unique one who is himself God." So this is, it is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Jesus has revealed God to us. He's the only one that has actually seen God in the face. See who God is in all his essence, because he is God, but he's also in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, mm-hmm. who came to save the world. Because, you know, God couldn't just leave us hanging out after Adam and Eve turned everything over to Satan
in
the garden.
Right.
You know, God had to have a plan to advise to redeem mankind mm-hmm. so that we wouldn't be just damned. You know, so, you know, and Jesus is that way to be reborn of the Spirit by receiving and accepting Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, mm-hmm. the one who's the Savior of the world, that took on the sins of the world on his body on the cross, received that punishment that we deserve, and he rose in 3 days after he died. He rose in 3 days, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I go back to, again, with verse 18, where it says that no one has seen God, you know, but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about how I think it was a Moses who was on that cleft of the rock. The guy put his hand over him as he passed by. He just got a glimpse of the back of God. But mm-hmm. God let him know, ain't nobody can look at me full on in my face and live. Mm-hmm. You know, so that lets you know that light is something else. That light is something else. But he had to put his hand over top of Moses as he passed by.
Yeah.
And again, spirit.
Yeah.
And that's an understanding we won't have, because we're operating in the natural form here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come out of this vessel, this body, and our spirit man, who we truly are, is when the presence of God, then more things are going to become clearer for us.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
then we'll be in a place in the realm of the spirit of eternity, and then we will be able to know more.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to be in Christ so you end up in the presence of the Lord and not falling and then in darkness and then in torment. There, hell does exist.
Yes,
the abyss does exist. If you watch any near-death experience shows, documentaries, mm-hmm. people that believe all types of religions or were atheists had a near-death experience, and then they saw the light, and they was like, they knew then. Either they knew it was Jesus or realized, because they had heard about Jesus before, or they hadn't. It was one guy, he was a Buddhist, and he committed suicide because he thought it was going to end all his torment and stuff like that, because the priest and the Buddhist temple couldn't help him. And so he just thought if he died, he killed himself, then, you know, everything would be over. But then he found himself, when he died, you know, clinically dead,
mm-hmm.
He found himself falling in darkness and wishing he could get out. And it was just horrendous for him. And he was just wondering, if is there a God, then can you get me out of this? And then immediately he was in the presence of light of God, you know, and he was like, this God, this light was so loving. I I knew that I was loved. But then God allowed him to go back and mm-hmm. feel his body, his spirit to go back in his body. And then, you know, he could come back and witness, okay, there is a God. Yeah. You know, I can mm-hmm. witness that there is a God. And again, this man wasn't no Christian. He was
that's
a Buddhist.
Right.
You know, but God, that's why I said, it's all said and done. When we all take our last breath, our spirit leaves from the natural body. And we enter the realm of the spirit and our spirit man, who we really and truly are.
Uh-huh.
And either you're going to be faced with God or you're going to be faced with darkness.
Yeah.
But either way, everybody going to stay in trial. But yes, I'm just saying, but you want to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. because Jesus is there as that advocate for all those that have received him to say, I paid the penalty for every wrongdoing they did.
Yes.
So they are not guilty because of what I did, because yes. of my blood. They're one of mine. He said, no one comes unless the Father gives them. So God knows whose heart is willing and receptive to accept
yes.
that rebirth of receiving and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. That means following him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it wasn't about control. It was just about staying in line with what is best for you, what
right.
God says is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because so this is not a license to sin.
Mm-mm.
You know, grace is exactly what it is, unfailing love of
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to just begin to wrap things up and just remind you that, you know, the word that became flesh is Jesus became in a human state. He was the word. He didn't cease being God. He just took on human flesh eventually. But at that point when he was creating things on earth, he was in that spiritual form of the word, because when God spoke, whatever he spoke existed, came to pass, and it became to pass because of him who is him, the word who is Jesus, the word who became flesh, the word who became in a human state here on earth. He is, you could say, God/man, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's different than any other child of God because he's the only one that's actually God.
That's
you know,
right.
We have the Spirit of God in us that are in Christ, but we are not God.
That's right.
He's the only one that's actually God. Jesus is the only one that's actually God and still man, Son of God, Son of Man, he was also referred to. So, you know, but it's the Jesus is the word. He's in the perfect balance of grace and truth.
Yeah.
You know, he's that perfect balance. He's that, you know, and it's no other way to describe him than that, you know, that he's the invisible God made visible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I can sum up in verses 15 through 18 of John chapter 1. John the Baptist is basically saying, look at him. He said, all right, now pay attention, people. He was like, there's no one like Jesus.
That's
there's
right.
no one like him. So you better pay attention. You better keep your eyes on him, and you better listen to what he has to say. How do you know what he has to say? You open up the Bible, you open up the word of God. You'll see what he has to say. You'll see mm-hmm. who Jesus is. And, you know, in the New Testament, it shows who he is. But he's also throughout the Old Testament as the word. He's also,
yes.
throughout, you know, manifesting himself, you know, throughout the Old Testament, but just not in a body unless he took on a form that could be seen
mm-hmm.
in the form of a human state.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he came and birthed through a woman, through Mary, his mother, so he could be in a physical body. So he could, you know, experience the things that we experience, you know,
mm-hmm.
so God could experience the things that we experience and be able to know exactly what we were dealing with in
mm-hmm.
order to take those things onto the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So again, Jesus is the one who is God who became visible to us. He makes the invisible God visible to us. He is the deity. He is the word. He is the creator. And I go to Psalm 103, which also witnesses this in the Old Testament. It says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we're his.
Mm-hmm.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, Jesus was called the Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He was called the Good Shepherd. And we that are followers of Jesus are his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Psalm 100 and verse 3 that is saying, acknowledge the Lord as God and he made us. We're his. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. It is witnessing to Jesus in the Old Testament before he came in the flesh
mm-hmm.
that him being the Good Shepherd when he came into the flesh, you know what I'm saying? But still be before that. he was still referred to as, you know, as that shepherd, you know, before he came in a physical body, you know, as Emmanuel, God with us, you know. So, you know, but again, he's throughout scripture. Jesus just came in a body. When you really start reading the New Testament, you see he came to Mary, his mother, and came in a physical body. But before that, he was at the beginning. He's because he was the start of our beginning. He was the start. So here's some takeaways. First, Jesus is the revealed word. He's the logos. He's the divine reason of God. He's the creator of the beginning, the reality of God's own person and character. And Jesus bears witness of the Father himself, the Holy Spirit, and the scriptures, which is a written word. Okay. He's the pre-existent Son of God who, in his obedience to Father God, he became human. Okay. Like in verse one says, the word was God. So the Father became a human being to die sacrificially for salvation of other human beings, and he reveals the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way of the life, because he, you know, again, he truly is God. He's God, but he's still separate in his of being God, as the, you know, God on earth, God Emmanuel, God with us, you know. So he's where we could see what God, you know, Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know, so like, you look at me, that you seeing the Father. That's what Jesus said. So, you know, we take him at his word. And second, Jesus is the sustainer of all things. It says the world lets us know that we exist because of him on purpose. God made us. We are valuable to him. We can't live without him. People are choosing to live without him here on earth. But you're going to find out when you take your last breath, things wraps up here in time. You just step into eternity. There he is. You know, you want him to be there for you. You don't want it to be where, you're rejecting him still. You know, you want to go on and receive him now. He's the giver of life. He gave us life. And he lights the path ahead for us, you know, with a purpose in mind. That's why is giving your life to Christ is meaning you to God's purpose. You're giving your life to God's purpose to follow God's leading. So that's what you do when you give your life to Christ. You give your life to God. You're saying, God, I submit everything to you. And sometimes it's going to mean giving up some people and some things. I mean, but that's okay, because in the end, it's going to all work out anyhow, because again, time is going to wrap up. So you take your last breath. That's it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what in between. I know God can still give you opportunity to receive Jesus, but those that didn't, I mean, that's a sad thing, because, you know, it's an easy choice to me, life or death, you know. that's an easy choice. I'm not talking about death, natural death. I'm talking about a separation, that kind of the death of separation from God, and you don't want that. And third, everything exists because of the word. He created the entire universe. Nothing is difficult, too difficult for Jesus. You know, nothing is. And fourth, you know, like John the Baptist, those of us that are in Christ, that are following Jesus' leading, we are witnesses of Jesus. We are ministers of the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world. He took on that punishment to atone for our sins, so that we, all of us that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we receive the righteousness that comes along with him. We can't do it of ourselves. We can't work our way through it. You can't do good works and do good to everybody and then think that makes us go to heaven. That's not what the word is saying.
That ain't what it's saying.
You have to receive Jesus, accept him, believe in him to become a son of God. That's the only way. Okay. So we are vessels of light, those that are in Christ. And that's because we made the choice to receive Jesus. So, you know, there's only one path to God, and that's through Jesus. Okay. So, you know, choosing life means choosing Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, as we close out right now and you're listening and you want to know him, again, Jesus died on the cross for my sins and yours. He paid the price for the sins of the world. He died. He rose again in 3 days, seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And so, and all those that believe in him, you know, we're going to live again, just, you know, in a new way, you know. So, you know, life's not going to be perfect here on earth, but he will help us get through those tough times. We will not be alone. And all you have to do is accept his invitation right now to receive new life in him. It's a rebirthing of your spirit, not your flesh, of your spirit. So this is a prayer you can pray if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I want to follow you. Come into my heart, into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. By faith, I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior.
It's just that simple.
So mm-hmm. now if you pray that prayer of salvation, you are born again in yes. Christ. You have received Jesus and what he did on the cross for your sins and mine. And now you are part of the family of God. Your yes. spirit Amen. Has been reborn. Now, this is a spiritual understanding. You might can't understand that because you're not. We're in the realm of the natural right now. But when we're in the realm of the spirit, it's all come together.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be able. You're going to be exactly where you were positioned to be, whether you're in the family of God or you're not.
Because when you close your eyes, you're going to step into eternity.
Step into eternity. It doesn't mm-hmm. end. So committing suicide ain't the way out. Mm-mm. It's just in the way over to the next realm of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And there, it's darkness waiting if you ain't received Jesus. You know, mm-hmm. again, he could meet you right there. And all it take is for someone to cry out to him. Mm-hmm. Call on his name. Cry out to him because you believe in him. You ain't going to cry out to him unless you believe in him. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been people that said, if you were real, then reveal this. And then they found out he was real.
Yeah.
Because he's going to answer that call.
Yeah.
If you ask him, if you were real, Jesus, then let me know. He ain't going to just be silent. Are you Mm-mm. serious? Mm-mm. He wants you to know, yes, he's real.
Yeah.
Yes, he helps every believer get through whatever they're going through, even sometimes when it feel like God is being silent or you're not seeing anything change. God is always moving and working. I know some people say, you know, he don't do how he gonna do. Well, for me, I feel like God is still unraveling things because I'm still in the realm of time. I don't know about you.
That's right.
But I'm still in the realm of time. So we're in that time realm. So, you know, to me, it's like he's still working. I mean, he done completed everything yet in the realm of the spirit, but in time, I got to walk into the next thing, yeah, into the next yeah. thing. So mm-hmm. to me, he's still, you know, that's like a time zone. Mm-hmm. In one time zone, one thing might be happening. Another time zone, mm-hmm. it ain't happened yet.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's still, we still on the same, in the same nation of yeah. the U.S. We got the central time, we got Pacific time,
mountain
time, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Eastern Standard Time. I mean, but different things are happening at different times in those time zones, but yet we're still in the same nation of the United States.
That's right.
You know, so again, it's like the realm of the spirit. You know, we have the realm of the natural, we have the realm of the spirit, and the realm of the natural is in time. Realm of the spirit is eternity. Mm-hmm. And there's still things happening. You know what I'm saying? There's still things happening, and certain things are still to come. It may be completed when Jesus died on the cross and he rose. Everything was completed for salvation, for everything. Yes, again, that's realm of the spirit. Everything is completed, but in the natural, we're still walking through.
Mm-hmm.
We're still walking through until the natural time ends completely. We're still walking through, and there's still things to be revealed, still things to be unfolded, still things of God's hand and operation working in the earth. Mm-hmm. So don't give up on God if things get hard. Call on the name of the Lord, receive who he is, and receive all that God has to offer. And in that, you will receive his support, the strength that you need to get through. And God will lead you. If you ask for wisdom, he'll give it. That's one of the first things we need to do. Give me wisdom, Lord
yes.
Jesus. Give me wisdom. Mm-hmm. So again, if you pray the prayer of salvation, you're a part of the family of God. We welcome you. We say your journey is just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for you that you heeded to the call, to the draw unto the Lord Jesus. And we know you might be wondering now what get your the Holy Bible, the translation you can understand. Stay in prayer, constant prayer with the Lord Jesus, with God. Talk to God, Father, throughout the day. Talk to him. I'm not saying you got to be on your knees 5-12 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You can just be walking along. You talking to him within your spirit. God hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, it was said that Jesus knew the thoughts of man. When they were around, he knew what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be thinking it or talking to God within without opening your mouth to utter a word.
That's right.
Just think about it. What would a mute person do that can't speak?
That's right.
They would have to speak to God spiritually wise.
That's right.
You know, it's the same thing, you know. Even if you're not mute, say you're in a coma, you got to be speaking to God spiritually. You know what I mean? You won't be able to open your mouth to do it.
That's
so,
right.
But he can hear you. He hears. You pray, he hears. But he definitely hears the prayer of salvation because he knows that someone's saying, you know, I want to be a part of the family of God. Here I am. I want to receive Jesus. So if you already received him, again, keep your relationship with God. Keep your relationship with Jesus. Talk to him throughout the day. Again, it's not about getting on your knees because some people can't get on their knees.
That's
it's
right.
just about communication with God throughout the day. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge that he, the Lord, Lord is God. Acknowledge him.
Yes.
Okay. He takes care of us. He is. Jesus is a good shepherd. So you know, if any of you have any questions, you can go over to our website, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com. Again, our website is spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com, and click on the contact us tab, because we want to hear from you. We want to pray for you. And we will seek the Lord, any prayer requests, we will seek the Lord, concerning you, and we will, get back to respond to you. Mm-hmm. So we just pray for you now. And I just want to leave you with a blessing from the word of God in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Grace and peace to you all. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for listening to We Are She Talks podcast. If our content has blessed you in any way, share it with your family and friends. To join in the discussion or to get further understanding of the Holy Bible, check out the resources we have provided by going to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/BTE10. While you're there, share your testimonies, take our short survey, sign up for my Estes list of must-read books for spiritual growth, check out Lady V's prayer and devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. We've got you covered. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.